For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. almost got me that time. Today we're going to talk Rutgers, Wisconsin from last night. Rutgers fell to Wisconsin 78-66 in a game that was kind of back and forth. Rutgers was up as much as 7 points in the second half and down as much as, I think, 19 points in the second half at the same time. So that was a bit of a roller coaster ride. We're going to continue to step further into the portal waters, talk about what the team might look like next season, some kind of coaching philosophy stuff. But first, our presenting sponsor is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alums, and fans, are you looking for some new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day has you covered, from t-shirts to hoodies, drinkware, and pet accessories. Night and Day focuses on providing Rutgers community with exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep chopping. Once again, got my Night and Day Rutgers camper mug. They have those available on the site. These are great. We're also brought to you by the Cut app. We got a great new sponsor, and I love betting and betting on really anything. Sports games, who's fast, who's going to be on the cover of NCAA football. Cut allows you to do that. Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. It has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments are on the site. You don't need Venmo or anything like that. I know we talked last time about we thought the best bet on there might be the Nick Saban for the cover of NCAA football, because they have so many different covers. Like, he's bound to be on one of them. I think it's basically easy money at even odds. So if you are going to check it out, use our promo code Believe Rutgers. That's BLEAV Rutgers for a 10% welcome bonus. Don't forget to use that promo code. Put your money where your mouth is. Let's get into this game. So Rutgers, like we said, lost 78-66. This is a game that Rutgers was playing really well in for the majority of the first half and into the second half. You know, we had a pretty sizable lead in the first half, as much as, I believe, 8 points, 9 points. We had a 22-13 lead. Wisconsin crawled back. Rutgers was able to re-extend that lead into the second half, but I wouldn't say they ran out of gas. They just stopped hitting shots. After they took a 7-point lead in the second half, they went from the 14:35 mark to around the 6.5 minute mark with only scoring one field goal. They went 8 minutes without scoring a field goal until they scored the next one. So it was just, you can't miss that many shots. Like, they started 4 for 8 from deep, and then by the end of the game, they were 7 for 21. So they just went on their patented Rutgers extended scoreless drive. Rutgers now is at 15-15 on the season, 17-12 in conference. Rich, talk through this game.
I mean, turnovers. Basically, yeah. It was just a lot of turnovers, whether it was a shot clock violation, which I haven't seen Rutgers doing, I feel like, a long time for some reason. I feel like I haven't seen that in a while from them. It's always on the opposing team for the most part because they're playing good defense. But Austin Williams had back-to-back turnovers. Just basically, hey, here's the ball. Just take it, basically. they're missing free throws. They're missing jumpers. They're missing layups. They're missing three-pointers. Three-pointers are not, I shouldn't say, is even shocking at this point because they just consistently take them and they consistently miss them. It gets to a point where it's like, you should not be taking, what, they take 20 three-pointers, I think it was today or yesterday? 21. At this point, when you're shooting like under 35% on the year from three-point land, just stop shooting them. It just makes no sense to take those shots. They actually hit their mid-ranges for a change. And I know we said this pre-pod, but it was mostly Jeremiah Williams for the most part. Kind of kicked things off with the mid-range too. It was the first shot of the game. And they were hitting those, but it's just everything else just refuses to fall. They can't hit free throws. They can't hit three-pointers. They just turn the ball over. They're getting out-rebounded, out-hustled, it seems like, at times. And it's just, I don't know. There's nothing on the defensive end either.
That's the thing that really is disheartening to me is it's one thing for your shots not to fall. That's been a Rutgers thing that's happened under Steve Peichel's entire time here. But for the effort and hustle not to be there defensively is the thing that's out of character. There were just guys that weren't even out there trying. I think the turnovers were a symptom of that. Wisconsin is not a good defensive team. They average, I think, 11 takeaways a game this season. And Rutgers turned the ball over 18 times. They were just giving the ball away. How many times did Austin Williams drive the ball down the court, trying a spin move and not have any awareness, just driving out of control? Jeremiah Williams, he had a good game, but he was giving the ball away. He was slipping a lot. I don't know what the deal is. Our team chronically slipping all over the place. Derek Simpson was driving out of control, giving the ball away. Our guards in general had 14 of the team's 18 giveaways last night. It's just you can't be that loose of the ball, and it happened at the most inopportune times because we had a ton of turnovers in the first half, but if we don't give the ball away as much in the second half and we hit a couple more shots, we could win that game. And I saw a few different things that I mentioned there, but the game was there for the taking. We've said that over and over, regardless of the final score, we were in this game, if not for a lot of just dumb compounding mistakes by the Rutgers offense in general.
I mean, you're up 7 with what? 14 minute mark in the second half.
Yeah.
It's like you had the game essentially. And then you just, like you said, too many turnovers. And I know people are like, yeah, well, he's got to start holding guys accountable. But it's like, who else are you going to put in? The other guy's doing it too. And then the next guy's doing it. And it's like, at this point, what am I supposed to do? My best player has 5 turnovers. One of my better guards has 4 turnovers. Another guard has 4 turnovers. I don't know what you do. I mean, Jermichael Davis is the only guard that didn't have a single turnover. So I don't know. It was just an ugly, ugly effort. There were some bright spots, though. I mean, Gavin Griffiths is starting to look like he's back in form.
Yeah, Gavin probably had his most promising game of the second half of the season. He had 14 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block on 5 of 12 shooting, 4 of 9 from deep. Take away Gavin's 3-point shooting last night. The rest of the team was 3-4-12. So he shot 44%. The rest of the team shot 25%. That's something that we really need to focus on in the portal is we need to go get some shooters. We have a collection of guys who, and we were talking about this on the Spaces last night with Danny Breslauer, they get more open looks than the stats would indicate. We have a terrible collective shooting percentage, but the looks are there. It's not like we're just taking a contested shot every time. We're just a team that has the yips, it seems. They're just not able to get out of their own heads. They let one miss carry into the next miss, carry into the next miss. So we just need to be mentally tougher next season. And that's not something you can just go down to the store and buy. You can't just manufacture mental toughness.
Technically, you can go buy the guys. So it's
you can buy the guys, yes. But that's not going to harden the guys on the team right now.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a little extreme to say, but there's no reason why you continue to miss these wide open looks as a guy who's in his third, fourth, fifth year in the program. That's just to me, no. At that point, it's just inexcusable.
It's tough because, like, you're going to lose some of these guys. Well, for starters, you're going to lose some of them to graduation.
Yep.
The other ones, you're going to lose to the portal, and that's kind of where you can replace them, I think, at least in the terms of toughness. But then I did say bright spots. I think I meant bright spot. There was only one, really, and that was Gavin. But it drives me nuts. Like, Quiff kind of got a little dominated a little bit from Crow. Like, Crow is pretty good.
Wisconsin dominated us on the offensive glass. How many? Yeah. There was that one sequence where they had like five offensive fouls on one possession. Like, they just kept like tip shots.
Oh, geez, sorry.
And they ended up on the foul line. But collectively, you want to know who led us going away in offensive rebounds? And I think this goes to another guy I think you should give a bright spot to. Jamichael Davis had five offensive rebounds for Rutgers. The rest of the team had three combined. So I think Jamichael Davis had a good game. He had five total rebounds, three steals, 10 points on 3 of 6 shooting. He was efficient. He did miss, three free throws, I'm sorry, which he has to kind of lock in on. I don't think he's got a particularly high free throw percentage on the season.
Very low. It's like in the 50% range.
Yeah, which is kind of, he's shooting 51.5% from the line, which is kind of surprising for a guard in general. Yeah, you got to be better than that. But I thought he had a good game. I think you got to get these young guys more minutes moving forward the rest of the season, prepare for the next season, because it's clear. I think even if we won against Ohio State senior day and we won our first game in the Big Ten tournament, I still think we would need to probably win a second Big Ten tournament game to make the NIT. Because I think at 17 and 16, if we won one Big Ten and lost the other, I don't think that gets us in. So just play the young guys at this point. Like, the guys who don't want to be there, who are playing with low effort, let them go. We already have one guy who seemingly
quit
the team, but he's still playing, or he's still on the roster. I do want to go through the whole roster and talk about what we think the probability is they'll be back, and kind of feed that into a transfer portal thing. But I do think I also want to bring something else up. Like, we keep talking about these offensive woes, and it's the same problems we have each year. We try and play this ISO ball with high ball screens, and that's really kind of it. We do have like a few other random plays. We do have a few other plays we'll run, but not with any regularity. And I think it's worked in the past when we've had guys who are ISO heavy guards who can hit those shots, you know, dribbling the ball 20 seconds down into the shot clock. But when we don't have those guys, our offense really struggles. And it's kind of like, you know, imagine our coaches are like a chef, you know, and we can make a mean pasta dish. We're really good at cooking Italian food. But then we go into another kitchen and it's a Mexican restaurant, and all they have is ingredients to make tacos and burritos and things like that. And they still try and make pasta. You know, you can't take chicharrones and you can't take like raw tomatoes and cilantro and make a pasta dish. You have to be more flexible. You know, when the ingredients aren't there, you have to, as a chef, make a new meal. And for our team, you have to realize those ingredients aren't there to make what you want to make. You have to be adaptable. You have to be able to go to a plan B or understand, you know, this isn't working. We have to try something else. Maybe they have tried all that. Mm-hmm. I was watching that show, Dinner Time Live. It's on Netflix. It's Dave Chang's cooking show. He does like live interviews and stuff like that. And this most recent week, he had Bert Kreischer and Ben Simmons on. Bill Simmons, jeez.
No, don't say Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Richie got triggered there. So Bill Simmons was talking to Dave Chang. They're close, about how they went to the Masters last year or 2 years ago. They're staying at an Airbnb. They get back really late from the Masters. You know, they've been drinking. They're having a good time. There wasn't any place that was still open to get food delivered from. Even Domino's wasn't open at the time. So they're staying at this Airbnb. Dave Chang finds out a way to get into the host's kitchen, you know, because they usually like lock the cabinets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he's looking around, and Bill Simmons said, there's like nothing there. It's a bunch of like shelf stable raw ingredients. And he said, Dave Chang just like pulled 3 or 4 things off the shelf. And he's like, what are you making? He's like, I'm going to make a pizza. He's like, you're going to make a pizza out of this? He's like, yeah. So he starts cooking. And sure enough, he makes one of the best pizzas Bill Simmons said he's ever had in his life. And that just goes to show that's what like an experienced chef can do. Like, you can see the ingredients, kind of see how they fit. Because cooking is a lot like basketball. You know, you have to know what things are complementary of one another. You have to know which things need to kind of have a little bit more attention than others. And you kind of combine all these things together into something that is bigger than the sum of its parts. So the meal itself is bigger than just the raw flour, the egg, the cheese. Pizza together is way better than just those individual ingredients. And that's kind of what we're lacking, I feel. We're lacking that kind of chef's eye, combining those ingredients into a functioning offense. And I'm hoping this offseason they get somebody who can do that, because there's plenty of coaches out there who are offensive experts. And it's clear, I think, we don't really have that on the staff. So
yeah,
I hope, like, they go after somebody like that. But that's kind of my rant on cooking and coaching. And hopefully it makes sense.
I mean, Steve Peichel's never averaged, his teams have never averaged 70 points per game.
That's insane.
Like, at Rutgers, I should say. He did it 1 year at Stony Brook. And that was the 2015-2016 season before he got hired. Maybe 2 years. I'm trying to go all the way back to his, like, original. Yeah, he's only done it twice at Stony Brook. And one was, like, his third year.
Do you want to guess, out of 362 college programs, how many teams this year averaged 70-plus points a game?
Out of 362, I'll probably say more than half, probably at least, like, 202. I'll go 202. Just guess.
202?
Yeah.
276 out of the 362 teams average 70 plus points per game.
Yeah. The name of the game's offense. I know defense is great and all, but, like, and that's fine. I'm okay with Heichel preaching defense, but when you have lack of effort, there's no defense.
Like, yep. Like, and if you look at, like, KenPom rankings, like, if you look at all the teams that are ranked really highly, there are out of the top, let's just say the top 15 programs. So those are the ones who are most likely, you know, going to have the chance to win a title. Mm-hmm. You want to guess how many are outside the top 30 in offense?
It's none of them.
One. And that's Iowa State, who's second in defense. But all these teams are in the single digits for the most part. You have a couple that are in the teens or early 20s, but you need to have a good, like, offense is so much more valuable than defense. Like, you see, I get that Peichel has to kind of play the way he does sometimes because, you know, you can teach defense to anybody. That's effort, that's hustle, that's knowing where you need to be on the court, because defense is in a lot of ways a team thing, whereas offense, it is team in the sense that you get guys open, but ultimately it's up to one guy to put the ball in the basket. So you need to be able to make a shot. Whereas on defense, if you can shuffle your feet and get your arms out there, it might create a passing lane. It might block a passing lane that'll create an easy opportunity for a steal for somebody else. So we need more offense. And it's so frustrating to just keep talking about this over and over and over.
Yeah.
And maybe we're the insane ones. We keep talking about these same things and it's not going to change. We just need to accept that. But I don't want to accept that. I want to accept that there's a chance that things will get better next year. And it will, because of the personnel coming in. I want to put that out there.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But philosophically, we need to have a different mindset on how we handle offense as well. It can't just be the same stuff we've been trying the last few years. Like, yeah, we'll make more shots because we have two NBA players that are going to be on the team next year. But we need more than that. We need to get them open looks with relative ease, with regularity. And that hasn't been the case with Rutgers offense in a long time.
Yeah. And I know everyone's like, well, you know, they use so much effort on defense and then that makes their offense worse. If you look at the top 10 defenses per KenPom right now, like, Rutgers is the biggest gap between the two. It's number 4 defense, number 277 offense. Jeez. Don't get me wrong, like, Maryland and Virginia, it's 7th and 8th in defense, and they're 158 and 191. That's still nowhere near as big a gap. The rest, it's all, like, 1 and 12, 2 and 69, 3 and 20. Like, you can't make that excuse anymore.
No, you can't.
Like, Houston has a top 12 offense. They have the best defense in the country. You think their lack of effort? No, like, it's just, are using all their energy on one side? No, it's just, got to get better offensive players at the end of the day, and that's kind of where it's kind of trending, I guess, too.
Yeah, I think the big difference there is Kelvin Sampson has recruited five stars and high four stars. every year he's been there, and he's got this track record of producing offensive players. But that is the model.
All of them, I mean.
Yeah, if you look every year, like, there's the same kind of teams that are playing great offense and great defense. It's Houston. It's Tennessee. It's, you know, if you just look at the rankings each year, it's pretty similar in terms of who, you know, top. UConn, like, they're the same teams recently, and they've cycled through personnel. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's a philosophical thing, and we've said that over and over. But it's until you make the conscious change that, or conscious decision that you're going to change it, I don't see how it's going to.
I mean, hell, they lost what, 2 first-round picks or a first and second round pick? Replaced them. They're the same team essentially. Like,
yeah, yep.
Lost their best big man. Same team. Like, it's crazy.
Yep. Let's run through this roster. I know we talked about.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Wanted to kind of maybe talk about, and let's put some betting odds to make this interesting, and I'll write them down.
Ooh, okay. I like this.
So we're going to start with the guys who we know will not be back. So we know that Andre Hyatt, Noah Fernandes, and Austin Williams, they're out of eligibility. So they are not going to be back. Then we start getting into the guys who have 1 year of eligibility left. Now, I'm going to go through them, and I want you to give the odds that they will be back. So if they're not going to be back, it's going to be like plus odds. If they are going to be back, it's minus odds.
I'm going to make this easier for everyone.
All right, so let's go Mawat Mag. What do you have? What are your gut odds that he'll be back?
Gut. He's going to be back?
Yes.
Plus like 500? Like,
plus 500. So
yeah, he's not coming back. I mean, if you want to get those odds, grab them now, because it's just, I don't see it.
So that would put, if we're talking betting odds, that would put it at about 16% that he'll be back. Does that sound about right?
I'll probably give it. I'd make it even less, to be honest.
Okay, so
maybe even higher. Let's go like, what would like a 10% chance of coming back be?
That would be, I think, plus 900.
All right, then we'll go with that. Yeah, plus 900. That's a significant gap. Maybe a 10%. I don't see it happening though.
Yeah, that seems pretty unlikely. Shirley Donovan has said in his Discord that, you know, he has, it's called the Trilly Intel.
He's rarely
and he posts
wrong.
All the people he's hearing are going to transfer, and he's usually pretty right. WattMag was on that a week ago, maybe more. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Next up, let's go Cliff Amore. God, why can't I ever say his name?
Amore, because you,
Cliff Amore.
You've been ingrained by Eugene, and it's just in your head now.
Yep.
That's a tough one. I'd probably go like, I want to say like plus 100 because I still think he leaves.
It's even odds.
Yeah, I still think he leaves, but I think there's still a chance he returns too. It's very, very close. Everyone I've talked to has said that it's legit 50-50 odds right now. No one really knows what he wants to do. Now, he wants to take the process and do the NBA process again, but I know we mentioned it off pod. The portal or that withdrawal date for the NBA draft isn't until May 31st. You can't really wait. You kind of need a big man before that.
Yep, you do.
Or decision, at least.
Yeah, let's talk through that a bit because he so Cliff can declare for the draft after the season.
Mm-hmm. Told he will, to be fair.
We're told he will. He has until May 31st to withdraw from the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. The NCAA transfer portal window goes from March 18th to, I believe, May 2nd, somewhere around there. So you have about 6 weeks from the end of the college basketball season to enter the portal. And after that, it's closed. You can still do it if you're a grad transfer. We saw that last year. Actually, it might have changed. Anyway. So Rutgers really needs to get an early decision from Cliff or move on.
Yeah.
Because you can't, like, you need a high-level big man next year to compliment Cliff, or sorry, to compliment Dylan and compliment Ace. You can't just, like, wish cast that Cliff will be back. So either you get a very early commitment from Cliff because he gets a substantial NIL offer, for example, but that's tough because we're not going overseas this year. That's another kind of issue in itself. Or you move on. I don't think, as much as Pykel would love to have him back, that he can wait for him and be left at the altar potentially. And no high level big man is going to come and play backup. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, setting a wedding date when you're dating somebody else too. It's you have to give that person a firm binding commitment that he's going to be the guy. Because over the last few years, we could have landed some pretty high-level big men, like Josh Cohen, who was at St. Francis, who ended up at UMass, who had a really good season this year. He would have came if Cliff didn't come back, but because he did, he went elsewhere. Neil Quinn, the kid from Lafayette, who had a really good game against us, he ended up at Richmond. If Cliff didn't come back 2 years ago, we could have landed him, but nobody's going to come in and play second fiddle, especially when everybody thinks they can make the league. So it is going to be an interesting kind of thought process through how they decide to handle the big man situation this offseason.
Yeah. I know people want to just throw Lathan Somerville out there too, but it's a freshman. It's a different type of freshman. It's not an Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. He's very good in his own right. I just think he's going to have to work on some things early on and maybe get him 10 minutes to 12 minutes a game early on. Maybe he takes over midseason, late season as the starting center, but I need a guy that's reliable that can start the first 15 games maybe.
Yep.
So that's the bigger issue.
Let's go to Jeremiah Williams. What would you put at the odds him coming back are?
Probably minus like 400. Probably I'd say I'm like very confident he's returning.
Minus 400, just so you know, would be about 80%.
Yeah, that's I'd say that's pretty accurate. A lot of people have talked, and I've told this multiple people already. He's very loyal to Rutgers, and people are like, loyal? He's went to Temple. He's went to, where the hell was he? Iowa State, and then now he's at Rutgers. And he left Temple, number one, because for a couple of reasons. He had some beef with a guy who thought he was the alpha male of the team, which he really wasn't. Hey, Khalif Battle, nice to meet you.
who's back in the portal again?
Yeah, who's back? Going to be back
will
in the portal.
Be, at least.
Yeah. Another one that's on that list. Of portal guys, but so don't even consider him because they have beef already. Number two, I believe it was when Temple's coach got fired as well when he left originally. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but regardless, he left Temple to go up a level to Iowa State. Iowa State, obviously some weird stuff happened, the gambling thing, the non-gambling thing, whatever. He also was told that he wasn't going to be the starter, so he re-entered the portal. So it's not like he's doing this like just because he has no loyalty to the guys. Like he's moving around because he didn't really have a choice. Rutgers took a flyer on him. Illinois took a flyer on him originally, said, nope, we found out about everything else. We don't want him. He might not even be healthy this year. They dropped him. Now Rutgers took a flyer. Rutgers did the right thing. He's close with Marlon Williamson. That's it. He's not going anywhere. He's your starting one or two guard, whatever you want to put Dylan next year next to him.
Yeah, totally agree. I think he's more than likely back. And I think there's a few guys on this roster that you really want to keep if you're the Rutgers staff, and he's probably number one or number two. What about Oscar Palmquist? What would you put the odds he's back at?
That's the interesting one. Now, this is like, I want to say probably like, what would like 40% be?
40% would be like plus 150-ish.
50? So I'd probably say 150, plus 150. That's fair. Because okay. I think if you have that 13th scholarship open, I take him as an end of the bench guy. I don't think he could play the five you've seen now. He could play some four. He could kind of play a wing role. He can get you some points. God forbid you need some at times. I think if you have one scholarship open at the end of the day, when you're done with all the portal stuff, you tell Oscar, hey, you're friends with Maron. You know Dylan already pretty well. You know the Harper family really well because you stayed over their house during COVID and all that stuff. I think I'd bring him back personally. And it's culture.
I 100% agree. I think when push comes to shove, he's going to be the 13th scholarship next year. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I feel like he's going to be the guy mm-hmm. who ends up back on Rutgers roster. Because, you know, if you look at what Pykele said about him last night when he's talking about his seniors, you know, he said he's a great teammate, not a good teammate. He's a great teammate. And it's interesting that in Pykele's comments, he went through all these seniors, but he didn't mention Mag. So I think that's another sign that something has gone awry this season with him.
Yeah, so we'll see you later today when we talk to him for senior day stuff.
Yep. Next up, Derek Simpson. What would you put the odds he's back at?
That he's returning, I'd probably say plus 200. I think that's 33%. Plus
200. Yeah, that would be 33%, yeah. So you think it's more likely he's gone than he's coming back?
I think so personally. Yeah. I think he's kind of come to the realization that him and, or not even him specifically, but the staff as well. It's at the point where you're not going to get a lot of playing time if you're a guard next year, and he's going to be battling with Jermichael Davis for minutes. Jermichael obviously does very good things on defense, on the defensive end that Derek also does. Derek's been struggling offensively. The only thing Derek really has over him would be, I would say, assist to turnover ratio is a little bit higher. The rebounding numbers are similar. The assist numbers are similar, though. It's the shooting. I can't have that inconsistency in shooting. He's shooting the worst percentage on the team. I think it's like 31%. It might have jumped to 32 after last night, but
yep.
I can't have that. We were just talking about how important offense is. I can't have that bad of offense. And I think the writing's a little bit on the wall, too, because you saw yesterday Jermichael got a lot more minutes than Derek. Now, that could have just been a game-by-game thing. But I think that they're too similar of guards, and I think Jermichael's going to get more minutes than Derek next year, and I think Derek's kind of starting to realize that. Now, that being said, I think like a mid-major can go take Derek, and I think they can make him into a damn good player.
Yeah, so for sure.
It will be interesting to see how that one plays out. I think it's more likely he leaves, but it's hard to say specifically.
Yeah, I agree. What about Antoine Wolfolk next up?
I'd probably say around the same. I really think he's out. I think it's kind of at the point where, yes, he's played more minutes recently, but at the same time, I think it's another with writing on the wall. It's kind of one of these big men is not going to be here next year, if not two of these big men.
I agree. You can't
have four centers on scholarship.
Well, it's not only that. It's just they both, like, Wolfolk had one of his best games of his career, not against I think it was against Nebraska, 9 points, mm-hmm. 9 rebounds. And he hadn't played, for 3 or 4 games prior to that. He didn't play last night, really. It just seems like he's in the doghouse, and Pike's kind of not giving up on him, but he can't really trust him. So I agree. And Ogbole hasn't really done a whole lot. Like, he's giving you these Charles Oakley minutes where he's going in and beating up on guys, but he is so raw. Like he can't, he doesn't seem to understand like positioning when he's boxing out. Like he's got hands of stone. Like he's got, how many times has he had like a dump off pass and it just like bounces right off him.
Yeah. So I think you
need a higher skilled big man. Like we don't really have the time to develop guys right now, honestly.
We're not on for next year.
A different timeline. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's probably gone. The big man situation, like I said before, Lathan Somerville's coming in. I expect him to be number two almost immediately. Yeah. I'm not saying he'll be number one, but he'll probably be number two pretty quickly.
So we talked about both big men. We put them both at about 33%.
I put them both at the same percentage.
So both plus 200. Let's talk about Antonio Chole. This one might be the easiest one we talk about all day.
Let's see. I'm looking at the odds, the percentage calculator, plus like 1,800. I think that's 5% almost, or a little over 5.
Okay. Yeah, 1,900 would be 5%.
That man hasn't seen like the court, and maybe he has seen the court in like that like little 1 minute span. But like again, another guy I can't wait to see develop. You can't hype him up every year either and say he's the greatest 3-point shooter on the team. That was a little mishap there, but no, I don't see him on the team. I think that and Mag are like my almost definites. Like I think they're definitely gone. The rest you can debate, but I think those two are definitely gone.
Next up, let's talk Gavin Griffiths.
Like minus 500.
Minus 500. So
yeah, it's like my similar. Like
okay. Yeah, I agree. I think he's a guy that both in terms of keeping him for recruiting purposes and also because he has shown promise and he might be a much better practice player than he is in game right now. He's the kind of guy who I think will flourish with more talent around him because he will get those open looks. And he won't have to just like, you know, chuck up these prayer balls at the end of the shot clock because the ball has just kind of been dumped off to him.
Progressed on defense, progressed on rebounding. Arguably was your top recruit ever. Like, I think there's no question about it. His family loves Rutgers. It's like similar to how the Harper family loves Rutgers. Like, if his brother ends up being a top five recruit, I think he would end up at Rutgers too. I don't think he's going to be, but I think he's going to. I think this family is just very loyal to Rutgers and Pike and all that.
Finally, the last scholarship guy is Jermichael Davis. What are the odds at? Thank you for
I'd honestly probably put him at the same thing. Probably do minus 500 because I'd argue that it stopped at minus five. It was either 83% or 99%. So I was kind of like stuck here on this odds calculator. But yeah, I mean, you could even say more if you want. Minus 15 or what was that? What did I say? Minus whatever. It's like a 99% chance. His best friend's coming in. He's played really well. He's outplayed his recruiting ranking, I feel like, already, kind of.
Yep.
I'd be a little shocked to see him go absolutely anywhere.
Yeah, so currently, based on all that, we have three guys at minus odds, a.k.a. better than 50% chance. We have one guy at 50%, and the rest, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 6 scholarship players we think have less than a 50% chance of coming back. So that kind of goes, you said your prediction off the cuff last pod was that we'll see at least 5 guys go out and those odds kind of line up with what you're thinking.
Yep.
I think we're going to see an unprecedented offseason for Rutgers. We've already seen a lot of guys enter the portal as grad transfers or announce their intentions. Some guys, it got out probably before they wanted to, like Khalif Battle. He's on Alabama right now and he's having to fight those rumors off, even though it sounds more than likely he's going to end up in the portal. Let's save specific names for next week when more names enter. But I think you're going to see a lot of movement from Rutgers in the portal this year, both on the way out and on the way in. So it'll be an interesting time to be a fan. It'll be great for us, a lot of content, but
yes.
Is there anything else you wanted to hit on before we head out today?
No, if you want to check that chart out, it's on our message boards. It's on the forum. So, feel free to go look and mess around and we have a transfer portal thread that started up. That's getting a little active already, and it's going to be a fun off season and an interesting one, like you said. I do want to tell people that they're saying coaches are telling us, not Rutgers specific, but are telling us that over 50% of players are going to enter the portal at D1 level. That is insane. This is worse than college football transfer portal. This is like 10 times worse.
It's worse, but it's also better because getting one lineman in the college football portal, it's nice. It's not going to change your team's fortunes. Getting one player from the basketball transfer portal can change your fortunes. So that's what's correct. So awesome about it is that it's got such a huge impact getting one or two guys, as opposed to football, where you get one or two guys and you might even be worse than last year. So,
yeah, so we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you once again. If you want to enter the home field
gift card
contest, enter This Is March into the comments for YouTube, or go to Apple, put in a 5-star review and mention This Is March. Don't just put that. Give us, you know, say something else, because it looks spammy when it's just This Is March, This Is March. So just mention This Is March in a very nice review, and you will be entered twice for the contest. We'll be drawing that next week. Not next week, the week of the 18th. So when the portal opens up, the first podcast after the portal opens, we will announce the winner of those two podcast or those two gift cards. So for me and Richie, it'll be two winners, one $50 each. So, but for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Nerd Report podcast. See you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.